Well, well. The heart of God. Ain't God good? Man, man, He is good. He is good. He has been good to us, each of us. And what a sweet joy it is to be able to serve each of y'all. It is a treat for Stephen and I to be your pastor, to get to love on y'all, to get to lead y'all. It is a high privilege that we don't want to ever take lightly. I think at the end of this month, toward the end of this month, October, we will have been out here 11 years. 11 years. And we'll be living out here because we moved in October from town 10 years ago. So we was actually coming out with y'all for about a year by the time we actually moved in to the parsonage. So 11 years with you and 10 years living out here, and wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world. Amen? Amen. God has been so gracious and kind and good. And we pray that He will continue to bless and show that show favor, and that we would do what He asks us to do from day to day. I see you, girl. Look at her grinning. Yeah, so won't you take your copy of the Word of God, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We had a great time with the church this week. It was a rich, rich blessing to be with them, a smaller congregation way out in the country in Plain Dealing, Louisiana. I never knew of a Plain Dealing, Louisiana until we went to Plain Dealing. And they were only 4 or 5 miles from the Arkansas state line, about 50 miles from Texarkana, about 45, 50 miles from Shreveport, and sat near Bradley, Arkansas. And some of the folks that were there lived in Arkansas, and it was a treat. It was good. Had people visit with us. Had some people come and celebrate with us from other places and other churches. Brother Marvin's church at Bethany that we were with 3 weeks ago, two nights out of the week, they brought van loads over and celebrated with us. And we had a sweet time, had a lot of liberty. That's one way that when I go places and preach, some places are more difficult to preach in than others. Some are a challenge to preach in, that there seems to be this restrictive barrier there. It's almost like forcing it to come across. But that was a place that I would say I had great freedom and liberty to share. The folks were hungry. They were hungry. Individually, each one came personally at different times during the week and just continued to, just appreciate us standing on the authority of the Word of God. Number two, for sharing Jesus so much. That was one of the common themes that continued to be shared, was that, man, we hear people talk about God, and they talk about God, and they talk about God, but when you get them talking about Jesus, it makes them nervous. I said, but you just continue to magnify and elevate Jesus in every single message and service, and we cannot appreciate that enough. And in bringing in the work of God's Holy Spirit to illuminate what Jesus is doing and has done in our life. So it was a really refreshing week. The church does our nesting with Jesus. So they follow right along with what we're doing. And they've been doing that for a little bit over a year now. Their pastor has been doing the nesting Jesus for 3 or 4 years with us. So when he went there, he incorporated that into their church. And so they were right along where we are in our reading. So I was able to teach and preach like I was here. And going through, and that really, I believe, really blessed them as a whole. And we just can't help but thank God for it all. Amen? Amen. And none of that happens without y'all praying over us and praying for us and seeing God invest in kingdom work. You know, the kingdom-minded man's always got fruit on his mind. So we planted seed. We was planting seed all week long. And that's exactly what Paul brings out here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 when he says in verse number 5. Now keep in mind, when you're reading in Corinthians, Paul, number 1, is going to come back to some foundational things that he started off in the first few chapters. that's going to be important to establish as you keep reading. One, Paul addresses a specific issue that he heard about, some divisions that were going on. So he's still dealing with that in these first few chapters. And in chapter number 7, that we'll pick up on tomorrow, our Wednesday night teaching, will come out of probably some of those things out of 7, 8, 9. And Paul is addressing some questions that the church at Corinth had. But he had gotten wind of some things that were going on within the church. And he tells us in chapter 4 that he was applying these principles that he's teaching to him and Apollos so that they would see that he and Apollos were servants of Jesus and they were not their Redeemer. And they were not their God. They were not crucified for them. That they were servants with a calling upon their life that had been commissioned to serve the body of Christ. And Apollos and Peter and Paul himself or Timothy, whoever it may have been, God gave them as gifts to the body to serve the body. And that's what he was trying to get across. That look, in the kingdom of God, we're all servants of the King and His kingdom. We're servants together. We all play a part in this work. And that's what he draws out of in chapter number 3 when he says, well, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Who are they? They are but servants. They are ministers. They are servants. And you can just put your name in there. Who is Nick and who is Stephanie? But servants. Who is Shannon and Pat? But servants. Who is Karen? But servants, ministers. Who is Hunter and Rusty? But servants of Christ, whom you believe as the Lord gave to each one. Whom believe. God gave them a gift to bring a message to the church at Corinth. And as a result, that gift was manifested before them. They heard the message of the cross. They responded to that message of Jesus. And Jesus done a marvelous work in them. But who is Paul and who is Apollos? They're servants. They were just carriers. They were carriers of the good news to a people that were fallen and would perish without Jesus. They brought that message to them. That message had an impact upon their life. It affected them forever, eternally. And Paul is saying, don't put credit on us. Give the glory to who? God. The one who sent them. Amen. And that's what he's saying. He said, verse number 6, he said, I, Paul, what did I do? I planted. But what did Apollos do? Apollos came behind me and he watered what I planted. But God gave what? Increase. God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants, like you and I will, is anything, nor he who waters, which we do, is anything, but God is everything who gives the what? Who God gives the increase. You know what God did? God gave them a field to go plant in. He gave them the seed to go plant. He gave them the water to water that seed and that field that was planted. He gave them other workers to cultivate that which was planted. He planted the seed, and everybody was playing a part in this role, whether they were planting, whether they were watering, whether they were sprouting, or whether they were growing, or whether they were budding with a blossom, or whether they were producing fruit, or had a harvest ready. They all had a part in it, but who got the glory for it all? God was getting the glory for it all, amen? And we don't ever want to misplace that. That, hey, in the kingdom of God, we all are playing a part in this work that God has set us apart for. He says in verse number 8, now he who plants and he who waters, we're one. We're one in doing what God set us apart. And each one of us individually will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's co-laborers, fellow workers. Now that's a thought, Brother Shannon. Amen. That we get to work alongside. We get to work with God. Amen. Amen. We are co-laborers together He says, you are God's field. You are God's building. You are God's work. We are co-laborers with Him. And I need to know that I am a co-laborer with the Lord. Amen? Amen. That means I don't want to go to work without Him. And all God's people said, amen. You shouldn't want to go to work without Him. That means that I'm not going and taking Him. No, He's leading me to the field that He has me to go to work in. I am a bond slave of the Lord. He's my master. He's the one who owns the field. He's the one who owns the seed. He's the one who owns the produce out of it. He's the one who owns the gain out of it. I'm just a worker in His field. Amen?
Amen.
To give Him glory and praise for that. Now, to do God's work, God's got to be involved in it. I had pinned this down the other day. Non-eternal things do not produce eternal results. Remember that. Non-eternal things never produce eternal results. If we're feeding them or keeping them with less than eternal truths, we'll grow something, but what we're growing is not eternal, nor will it endure until or through eternity. Remember that. Amen. That applies to us as parents. If what I'm investing in my kids isn't rooted in grace and God, eternal, the product of that is not going to be eternal. Amen?
Amen.
That applies to our Sunday school classes, our children, our church services. Whatever we are feeding people, whatever we are keeping people with has to be eternal, because if it ain't eternal, God ain't involved in it, and it won't last through eternity. Amen? But that which is done in faith will last forever. That which is done with eternal love will never fail. And that which is done in eternal hope will never disappoint.
Amen.
Remember that. That which is done with eternal faith will last forever. It's going to last forever. Whatever's done in faith is kept by God, it's last forever. Whatever's done in eternal love will never fail. And whatever is done in eternal hope will never disappoint. You'll never be ashamed of it. Amen? That's simply saying, hey, God is at work in this. Now, what I glean from this is some thoughts about how this is just not something we do on the side. This is not a side gig we do. This is something we pour our life into. Kingdom work takes everything. Amen?
Amen.
If the King and His kingdom agenda is anything, it's absolutely everything. If it's anything, it's everything. And we know it's everything, and because it's everything, we shouldn't let anything overshadow its eternal objective and its eternal order. Amen?
Amen.
So remember, if Jesus is anything, He's what?
Yeah.
Everything. And I want to tell you, He's everything.
Come on.
There's a lot of people that don't believe He's everything, but He's everything. If He's anything, He's everything. Well, His work is also, if it's anything, it's all-consuming. It's not something that we do part-time. It's not something we do on the side. It's who we are as the servants of God, as co-laborers with Him, Mama Rob, who at times we're planting seed. At other times, we're watering the seed that somebody else planted. At other times, we're getting to watch and cultivate and nurture and fertilize what is growing. We get to be part of the harvest at times. We get to see the blossoming of the fruit at times. And that same applies to me. Somebody's sowing into me and somebody's watering me. I'm a field that God's planting seed in, that God's watering, that God's cultivating and bringing about an eternal result and work out of. So when you're sowing into me, you're sowing seed into my life. I'm sowing seed into your life. You're watering me and I'm watering you and we're watering one another. But all the glory of that, if God's in it, it's going to last forever. We'll not fail. We'll never be disappointed with it. And we can't help but give Him the glory. Amen? And to give Him the glory for it all. So, non-eternal things do not produce eternal results. If He's anything, He's everything. Some are planting in the kingdom. Some are watering in the kingdom. Some are receiving seed in the kingdom. Some are drinking in the water of the kingdom. Some are sprouting. Some are budding. Some are growing. Some are bearing fruit in the kingdom. And some are just ready to be harvested in the kingdom. But praise God, we can be part of kingdom work. Amen?
Amen.
A co-laborer with the Lord. Now, with that being said, if I'm going to do kingdom work, I've got to trust the King. Number one, I've got to trust Him. To trust Him, that means I believe Him, I trust Him, well, I believe Him and trust Him, I put faith in Him. Number two, that means that we need to be doing something sacrificially for someone. That is the King we trust. We're serving the King and His kingdom in the fields of His choice. And number three, we're giving someone something specific. What are we giving Him? We're giving Him glory. We're trusting Him. We're working. And we're giving Him glory. This is the life cycle of the kingdom. We're trusting Him. We're serving Him. We're glorifying in Him. We're trusting Him. We're serving Him. We're glorifying Him. He's putting seed in me. I'm carrying seed to the field.
Come on.
He's putting water in me. I'm carrying water in my bucket to the field. He's raining upon me so that I can shower that upon other people. Amen?
Amen.
He's always at work doing what He's doing. And He's bringing all this out to show them that, hey, me and Apollos is not the big deal. The big deal in this is Jesus. And we want to make a big deal about Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let me read the first few verses of chapter number 1. Let's just start in verse number 1 before we go. We got a lot more to say, and we'll talk more about it tonight at 6 o'clock when we gather up. But I want y'all to count with me. Would y'all count with me? Will y'all help me count something? I need y'all to do it. I'm going to read it, but I want y'all to count it. Every time we read it, y'all just say number 1. And when I come across it again, y'all say number 2. I come across it again, y'all say number 3. Now, every time I say either Jesus, the Lord Jesus, or the Christ, like verse number 1 says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, y'all say
number 1.
Now, let's do that for a few verses and let's count them up. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. So in those first 10 verses, how many times was Jesus mentioned? 9 times. And He's referred to like the idea of Him on other occasions. So you can say 9, 10 times in the first 10 verses, whose name is number 1? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, you can get distracted with Rusty or Sandy or Davin or Greg or Nick or Shannon or Stephanie and get your eyes off Jesus. And when that happens, you know what we start doing? We kind of start acting like those folks at Corinth. we start emphasizing people over the person of the Lord Jesus. And when we start emphasizing people over the person of the Lord Jesus, you know what we do? We start getting ourselves in trouble. Amen? And you know what happens when we start getting in trouble? We get out of the field, Mama Rob. And when we get out of the field, working in the field, we find us an old shade tree somewhere, Tommy, because it gets hot out there. It gets hard. The work gets hard, and we're looking for a break somewhere. You see, you get your eyes off Jesus, and you get your eyes off that road that you're supposed to be working, all of a sudden the pressures of the society that we're in, the atmosphere, the heat, the sun, the beaming of a day, you're just looking for a shade tree, just for a little break in it. But I want to tell you, when you got your eyes on Jesus, and when He is elevated in your life, and He becomes the central theme of everything we're doing, whether you get locked up in prison, or you're on a boat, and you're suffering shipwreck, or you go in the dark places, and nobody's ever heard the name of Jesus, you know what? Jesus is still the central theme. And you're not looking for relief. You're looking for a way to refresh other people with that sweet name of Jesus. Amen? Oh, it's the difference that makes all the difference in the world. There's just something special about that name. Amen? That name of Jesus. Well, tonight we'll gather back up. We're going to look at why Paul said some of these things to them initially. And then what was the purpose of that to bring them back? Because it's going to be the foundation of all that we see him do and write to this church who was suffering some trouble in the fact that they were just acting like mere men would act. The Bible uses the word carnal. The word carnal simply means man acting like man without the presence of God in his life. And we don't want to act like men without God's presence. Amen. What would be the use of Jesus doing something for us if we lived without His presence guiding and governing our actions in life? And we don't want to be. There's times that you're going to act carnal. Carnal is reverting back to just natural ways. Anybody ever act carnal? That's the idea of that backsliding. You're going back to natural ways. You're just doing things in the flesh. But remember, non-eternal things never produce eternal results. Carnal things never produce eternal results. That which is of God, which would be of grace, which is centered in Jesus, which is founded upon the Word, that is what produces eternal results for the glory of God. Not what Nick can do without Jesus, but what Nick does because of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Working in me and through me and for me, that's the difference between what's eternal and what's carnal. So, do we need Jesus?
Yeah.
Do we need Him as a side gig, or is He everything?
Yeah.
If He's anything, He's what?
Yeah.
He's everything. If He's anything, He's everything. And praise God, we know He's everything.
Amen.
Father, we thank You today. We ask You to help us with some of these things, and as we continue to dig later today, that it would even make more and more sense to us, that it would be clearer and clearer, that we would see what You're doing and how You have enriched us, how You've established us, how You've equipped us and empowered us to be a body that does Your work today. We need You. We need You. We need Your power. We need Your presence. We need Your peace. And Lord, we can't live and do what You've asked us to do without it, without You. So we praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, boy, those are big words. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. From day to day, we wake up and begin to just ask today, Lord, make me willing to be made willing that You have Your own way with me. Amen. That You have Your own way with me. I tell you, God wants to hear from us. And we want to cast all our cares and burdens upon Him. We want Him to hear us. If He don't hear from us, if we don't know He hears from us, we'll dry up, wither, and die.
Amen.
So give Him over to Jesus. But always be listening for what He's got for you. Amen?
Yeah.
Always be listening.